It's an NRL round review.
All over.
Round 15 in the bank, and we get a weekend off from club footy this weekend, MG, with State of Origin Game 2.
Yeah, that'd be nice just to concentrate solely and purely on the Origin coming up on Sunday.
Well, frankly, some of the teams don't deserve our attention the way they're going at the moment. Let's walk through it. We'll go all the way back to Thursday night with the Bunnies, and one of those teams that doesn't really deserve the attention, but, gee, they got a bit of it over the weekend with news of player revolt against Kevvy Walters. Rabbitohs 46, Broncos zip. South's biggest ever win over the Broncos.
Yeah, it was emphatic. We were there commentating the game, and from the opening whistle, they were on. Cody Walker was awesome. Dane Gagai ran for over 200 metres. Cam Murray around the ruck area was superb, and Callum Matangi and young Hame Saleh, young up-and-coming players, which will warm the South Sydney Rabbitoh fans' hearts. On the other side of the ledger, the Broncos, what can we say about them? They are in a rebuild. Dave Donaghy from the Melbourne Storm has been up there for about a month now. He's done an internal systematic dissection of what's going on. And heads are starting to roll. Peter Nolan's the first one gone, the head of football, and I think there'll be many, many more. Tevita Pengai Jr., and we're hearing Matt Lodge could be as well. So they're trying to offload some players on big money so they can start recruiting and maybe keeping hold of guys like Reece Walsh.
Look, I sort of had a bit of a look over and heard the interview that Dobbo did with Kevvy on Nine, and all this stuff about Kevvy having lost the dressing room, this screams to me, my best guess is this is a club that knows, or there are people within this club that know, that this review, this clean out, whatever you want to call it, some heads are going to roll. There are going to be some casualties of this clean out.
Yeah.
And there are probably some people thinking, well, the way I can survive is to, you know, sow some seeds of doubt about Kevvy. That's the best way I can cling on to my job. But it strikes me that, as you say, Dave Donaghy's up there. They put Kevvy in as the coach. Whether Wayne has an involvement as a Tim Sheams type role that he's about to start with the West Tigers, or he's at the other club, I think the Broncos want Kevvy as their coach moving forward. They're in a bit of a similar situation to the Tigers, where they just need to sort out their roster.
They're identical to the Tigers at the moment. They're the two worst teams in the competition. And they've both got a roster problem with players on a lot more money than they should be. And that was not their fault, the current coaches that come before them. So until they get total autonomy, then we can judge them on that. But Kevvy's going to be safe.
As you should be too.
Yeah, and that's, you know,
it's ridiculous.
I really can't find any positives out of that game.
No.
I'm trying to find a positive out of the 46-0 victory for the Broncos, that is. But no, I can't.
It's ridiculous to think that this Broncos team has salary cap issues when you look at what they're serving up at the moment. Just quickly, Cam Murray. I know that I think Freddie had him almost as his player of the game from State of Origin Game 1. He's just, I feel like he's become a little bit more defensive this year. He's not quite as prolific attacking, but he's so good as a defensive player this year. Although he ran for 193 metres on the weekend, I'm aware of that. But he's just consistent, just so consistent.
Yeah, he's kind of like what Jake Trbojevic was 3 years ago. When Jake burst on the scene and was tackling everyone and people in half, and Cam Murray is evolving. I'm sure he's going to be the state captain one day and the country captain, but I think him and Nathan Cleary are going to have a long association with each other.
Yeah, and the other thing I imagine, I'm just having a look, Cam Murray, what is he? He's 23. He's the same age as Latrell Mitchell.
Yeah.
When you think about for South Sydney.
Same age as Nathan Cleary.
Nathan Cleary, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about it from a club perspective as well. Wow.
Well, okay. Tom Turbo's only 24.
Oh, geez, there's some young talent getting around. We're going to get to Tom Trbojevic. Oh, Justin Holbrook. We've got to have a conversation, mate. Hey, Friday night, two games to get through. Sharks 26-24 over the Cowboys. They held on. They held on. The Cowboys were finishing fast, but the Sharkies managed to hold on.
Yeah, Sharkies have been one of the most improved teams in the last month. I don't know what they've got it from. They've got it from continuity. I think Will Chambers has played a big part in their resurgence, although not playing the best football of his career. Just rubbing shoulders with those young kids in the dressing room is blokes like Will Kennedy would look up to him big time. Mulatano on the wing is pressing for a Queensland origin
berth.
Oh, yeah,
he's been included in the squad. Yeah, so well done to him.
And good on Josh Hannay for fighting the good fight. He knows he's basically an interim coach, but he's doing his coaching career no harm at all by doing what he's doing. I just like what they're doing. I like the fact that, Chewin Johnson and Matt Moylan are both still fighting for the spots. Woodsy, our big mate Woodsy, has since been told that his services are no longer wanted. He's been playing fantastically. So, yeah, look, it's the Cowboys, on the other hand, that's back-to-back losses for the first time in a while for them. And last week against Manly, it was an ordinary one they got beat by. And this one was kind of, they were coming home, as you mentioned. And then there was that Reece Robson hit to Tolman, who, another one where we say, what was that for? Kind of the sin bin. The players do drop, and their accidents do happen. As soon as we realise that, the quicker we'll get on with all this fanfare that surrounds the high shots at the moment.
That might be one that comes back to haunt the Cowboys as they try and fight it out for one of those last two spots in the eight. Just quickly, though, on the Sharkies and Josh Hannay. I know we've speculated here about just how much of a hand on the tiller Craig Fitzgibbon has at the moment in communicating and with the selections and all the rest of it. No Chad Townsend getting a run of late, obviously, and Sean Johnson and Matt Moylan playing in the halves. But Josh Hannay, if Craig Fitzgibbon is having input, Josh Hannay is showing that he is more than capable at fulfilling the orders and the directions of a senior coach, right?
He's a fantastic deputy.
Alternatively, if Craig Fitzgibbon is completely hands up and not having a say in this, Josh Hannay, as you say, is showing that he has the capabilities to bring together a squad that is has got players heading, bring together a somewhat disjointed squad with players leaving who've lost their captain for an unknown period of time with this concussion issue, and getting them to play together and run a four wins on the trot. I think Josh Hannay deserves an enormous amount of praise from the power brokers at the Sharkies for what he's doing with this club at the moment. Yeah. All right, second game, Friday night. I know you were at this one, Bluebet Stadium. You were there along with 14,500 others. Panthers 38 over the Roosters 12. I know the Roosters led early, but these Panthers, they just don't make mistakes and they just are relentless.
Yeah, good word. They are relentless. They certainly are. They make oppositions pay for their mistakes. And on the weekend was a similar one to both Friday night games were marred by a dubious sin binning, which cost the team that got their player sin bin different ways, mind you. Tuck Yahoo got sin binned for a shot on Nathan Cleary that shouldn't have been sin binned for. No. 14 points were scored while he was off. But saying that, Young, in that game, Lachie Lamb didn't find touch, and Penrith scored off that. You've got to find touch. First graders have got to find touch. They were valiant, the Roosters, with, and let's not forget, they've got eight top-line players out, these guys. But they're not complaining. They don't complain. I think they're just one injury or one retirement too many for the Roosters. I think they've hit the wall. They look like it. Teddy's doing so much from the fullback role, trying to be 5'8", halfback, lock forward, hooker. He's trying to do everything. He's going to have a nice long pain away bath at the end of this season, and he'll line it, and his skin will be like, it's, that crinkly stuff when it gets out.
Yeah.
Oh, he deserves a butt. He's a fantastic brute of a player. But yeah, Penrith are just, after two losses without their origin players, they roared back into contention.
We spoke to Boyd Corner last week on the show, and I think that is worth reiterating. James Tedesco is still the best player in the game. Like, I know what Nathan Cleary and Tom Trbojevic are doing this season.
They are the best
players this season.
Yeah.
But James Tedesco is still the best player in the game.
I agree.
And
with
I think
I
that's worth that. Reminding people, even though they lost on the weekend. You made an excellent point. Almost swore then. You made an excellent point. Because if you retired the two Penrith captains, Yeo and Cleary, and then you got rid of their most efficient winger, Brian Toto.
Then Luai comes out with a knee injury.
And then you take Luai out with his half, with a season-ending knee injury.
Yeah.
they'd be decimated. That's what the Roosters are dealing with.
Yeah, and they're still coming fifth.
And they're still coming fifth. And if you go through any side in the competition, we know what happens if you take Tom Trbojevic out of this Seagulls outfit.
Yeah, that's right.
What the Roosters are doing, given what they have gone through, is truly remarkable, and it speaks volumes to what Trent Robinson has put together, the program that he's lined up at that outfit. So, look, they'll bounce back, and it's just a matter of what they can hang on to achieve this season. We get to Saturday night's 10-6 over the Warriors. Gritty. It was unpleasant viewing, but it was a gritty win that the Knights needed.
Yeah, monsoonal conditions up there in Newcastle. It was just the worst weather you can ever play in front of when it's at the wind and rain have hit you. Look, Jaden Brayley was fantastic for the Knights. I thought Saifidi, I think he ran for 200 metres plus 30 tackles, the first time he's done that in first grade. So their captains led the way. Mitchell Pearce being back was a massive help for them, obviously, just to have a calming influence over the Newcastle Knights, because in games gone by, they would have lost that game. It was 6 all the way down to the end, and we thought that they were going to line up for a field goal, but the ball went out to Brody Jones, who went over for a try, 10-6. I think the Knights deserved the win, and I think that it could be a little kickstart for them. Who knows?
Well, Adam O'Brien was very bullish post-match about particularly the spine. Obviously, Brayley and now Pearce and Clifford playing together for the first time in the halves. The return of Ponga, I think they forecasted that he'll come back for the game against the Cowboys. And if that spine can play together back after the season, I think they've got a softish draw. They can still be fighting it out for those last two top eight spots.
For sure. That's the best thing about the bottom part of the competition is that where will they end up? Mm. No one really knows at the moment because of the competition is so topsy turvy within bottom teams.
I know Caelan Ponga is the most talented bloke at the Knights. There's no arguing with that. But I still think Mitchell Pearce is the most important. And I think we saw that on the weekend because you look at the team that they've got and all the forward power and the youth outside and all the rest of that. But this, you know, for what he did to set up the Tuala try to win it, and I still think, I look back at the start of the season and what happened with all the off-field stuff, and it is such a shame. It is such a shame that that happened and then that he suffered the pec injury as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because who knows what this Knights outfit could have done, you know, ifs and buts and all the rest of it.
No, but they would have kind of, I think they would have been where most people predicted them to be, and that's entrenched in the top eight.
Yeah.
Like, it's where everyone had them finishing. That win gets them, you know, from third last up to 13th or 12th or something. So it is a trajectory in the right way. So, they've just got to stay healthy now.
Yeah.
They need Ponga back. And then a couple of other players will come back through. Mm. I don't think Edric Lee's played this year at all.
He hasn't.
So he's an origin player from last year.
Well, they're not going to get Best back this year, are they? I think he's got that syndesmosis surgery, so we've seen the last of him, I think. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, anyway.
That's not good news.
No. Dragons Raiders, 22-20. The Raiders. MJ, we finally saw the 18th man used. It was used illegally, but it was used.
Yeah, we did. Look, this game's all about Tyrell Sloan, the young guy who made his debut at fullback. Bit of an uproar. There was a big uproar over Matt Dufty's departure, but that's kind of hushed at the moment when they see someone like this young kid coming through. The Raiders, but again, faded. The Raiders faded. And I think they're the most disappointing team in the competition this year.
This is yet another club, along with the Broncos and the West Tigers, that is in a position now where they're either having to decide if they back their coach or their playing group. And from what you've said and what the rest of the broader media have said, the Ferners back in Ricky Stewart, which means that they need to look at this playing group.
I think that's the right thing to do. I'm sick of seeing coaches, you know, getting the merry-go-round and going there and getting off it. And then there's... We went ballistic last year when we saw it, or the year before, and it wouldn't have happened to so many coaches. And I think it's about time that the board and that stay, okay, well, you know what, he's shady, can coach this guy.
Hmm.
But obviously the players who we've bought for him aren't doing the job. So it's a bit of our fault as well.
Hmm.
And look, I think Ricky Stewart's safe. But look, they've ever since that loss at Penrith, at Bluebet Stadium, about 5, when we had our reunion that day, when Klokstad got injured with his neck, he hasn't been back. And they've lost. That seemed to be the start of the end for the Raiders, because then we started hearing talk about disgruntlement in the camp, and this guy was getting arrested. We didn't know why, but now we know everything. Now we know that there is disharmony. Some of the players aren't happy, and one of them's left to go back to England. Who knows what Josh Hodgson's going to do? He keeps saying that he's happy there, but is he really? So they need wins, and when you're coming where they are at the moment, they're only two or three wins out of the top eight, but they don't deserve to be in the top eight the way they're playing.
That's Ricky calling, just to thank you for...
You're welcome, Stick.
Back him up. Raiders is a great example of a club where you can be the best side in the competition, but you need luck in this game, right? And they have their best players have been unlucky this year. Papali'i's had suspensions and injuries. Hodgson's had injuries. They've had Croker, their skipper, suffer injuries. And that chance, and as you say, Charles Nicol Cookstar, who when they went to the grand final, he was a revelation that season.
Yeah.
Absolute revelation at fullback. So they
seems so far. That seems so long ago. That 2 years ago when they played the grand final against the Roosters. Jack Whiten is a mere shadow of himself.
Well, it also shows that Jack Whiten is a man that needs the pieces around him working and operating on on four cylinders or whatever.
Sometimes you've got to make your own when you're that good. When you get that, when you're the reigning Dally M player of the year, you've got to make your own luck. And the good 5-8s do. The good 5-8s say, get out of the way and give me the ball. And at the moment, he's not.
Yep. Nice sneaky win for Anthony Griffin. Not a sneaky win, but it's a close win. And they needed it. They needed one to just stop the slide a little bit.
Mm.
Then we get into whatever this was on Saturday night on the Sunshine Coast. 66-16, 40-0 at half time. Madge Maguire went in. You saw the footage of it. Basically, wasn't ranting and raving. I imagine the words were quite stern, though. Spoke. And then took his coaching staff and left. And left the players to sort it out. MJ, has a coach ever left the change rooms on you at halftime?
Yeah, a couple of times. I know Phil Gould done it once or twice in a club game, and we were playing really badly in the first half. And it works. If you come back. Obviously, I've never been behind 40-0 in a game. But, I think Finucane was great. I thought Jerome Hughes gets better and better every game. We've spoken. What can you say about the Tigers? Like, that's their biggest loss as a joint venture. You got to go back to 2001 when they lost 66-12 against the Eels, I think. So
the Bulldogs lost again, and the Broncos obviously failed to cross the line again in their loss to the Bunnies. But is this the worst side in the comp?
Oh, on this performance, it is. With the roster they've got and the experience they've got in that team, of course it is. Like, I bet you the Broncos would ache for a few of their players. They're getting one of them. The Tigers are getting one of the Broncos players in Tevita Pengai Jr. But, yeah, look, I think given what they can do on their day, it's the biggest flick-switching team in the competition. When they're good, they're good. When they're bad, they're just horrid. And that, to get put 60 points on you, that's just embarrassment. That's something that you wish as a player you've got a game this weekend so you can atone. But they've got to wait a whole 2 weeks with that scoreline hanging over their shoulder and their fans giving it to them and us in the media giving it to them. And rightly so. You've got to call it as you see. And that was just insipid.
They play 4th of July, 2 weeks from now. They play the Bunnies on Sunday. It's the last game of the round at Leichhardt Oval. This is a ground which, on a Sunday afternoon, it's a storied experience in the game of rugby league. Why would West Tigers fans turn up to that?
Maybe because it's Leichhardt, for one. Two, that hopefully this 60-point demolition might have somewhat erased a bit from their memory. Last time they played the Rabbitohs, they lost on the bell. So,
what should they be doing this week? Should they be going out and having a drink together? Or are those days gone? I don't know.
I think they've done that. I think this team has done that. I think they've had a little bonding session maybe after a couple of games that they've had the similar thing happen to them. Obviously, this is the tipping point because this is a massive score. When you get 66 points put on you, that's just not turning up.
And the thing I know that worries you, which is what we heard James Tarmow, the captain, say on Fox League after the game, which is that players started going at each other towards the end of the game.
Yeah, that's you got to weed that out of the club straight away. That's something that you can't start throwing stones at each other, because there wasn't one player who could have put their hand up and said, I went well.
And do you know, and to cross-code comparison here for a moment, Hawthorn in the AFL a couple of weeks back put in a piss-poor performance. Alistair Clarkson made him strap on the gloves at a training session, right? Now, but the NRL can't do that. Given the edict coming down from Peter Volandis at the moment, the days of being, you know, put on the gloves, get in the ring, they wouldn't be allowed to do it anymore because of the concussion situation
we have in the
game.
You can do something similar, but you can get in a sandpit and have a wrestle.
Should they be going down to the Kurnell Dunes and...
Yeah, get in the dunes, do some hill sprints, and then maybe look. Listening to James Tarmow earlier today, it doesn't seem to be a quick fix.
No,
it seems to be one of them things that's going to take time. And Tim Sheens is on his way. Noddy Kamali's on his way. Mm. So, look, they're not world beaters, but they've got some different opinions, I suppose, that will help.
Well, if anybody is near there's the dunes up at Palm Beach as well, or the ones down at Kurnell. If anybody happens to notice a big pack of West Tigers players, let us know. Send us through some pics.
I think they got the week off. I think they're in New
South Wales. Well, they don't deserve it.
No, they don't deserve it. We deserve a week off.
We deserve a week off. Right, two more games to get through for this one. Parramatta 36 over the Bulldogs 10. Again, Bulldogs, you know, West Tigers is a team that's at least fighting. But Sean Russell, great to see another youngster blooded by the Eels, MG, and scored a double on debut as well.
They're sneakily doing it, aren't they? They were behind 10-6 in this game, and I suppose with only one Origin representative, which is Junior Paulo, they've kind of lucky. You know, like obviously Brad Arthur would like to see more of his team represented.
I don't know if he would. I reckon he's probably pretty happy that Moses and Gutho and Matto and all those boys
Fergo's long gone, isn't he? Fergo can't get a run. And the guy
he'd probably
who replaces,
be okay with Fergo going to the Blues.
The guy who replaces him scores two tries. So, I like what Parramatta are doing. I like the fact that they did that yesterday because the Doggies were on a bit of a high. You know, they were coming off a win from the week before, and as I mentioned, they went out to a 10-6 lead, and we thought, this is it. This is the ambush. This is the ambush. Here it is. But the Parramatta of yesteryear would have lost that game, but this is not the Parramatta of 2021. They fight hard, and they fought back, and they come away with a really impressive win yesterday. Papalihi continues to be he's the buy of the year by a mile. Mm. 200 metres yesterday, 11 tackle busts. Like, come on, man. The guy's just... He's in the game so much. And if you haven't got him for your Supercoach team, you are kidding yourself.
I also think there was a moment, I think when Gutho passed to Russell for his first try, the excitement, the enthusiasm, the emotion that Gutherson had for this young fella, like that told me a bit about the feeling of the group as well, which, you
it's
know.
Good point. Yeah, good point. There was jubilation.
Mm.
That this young guy who they would watch train with them he gets his spot, and a bit like when Jacob Arthur scored about a month ago on debut.
Yep.
They buy into it. They buy into these young kids who get their shot at first grade and they love seeing it. It's, I think every club does, but that stood out, didn't it? Really stood out.
It did. And when you go back a week and you see Moses and Gutho, you know, barking at each other.
Having a sledge,
These blokes aren't just turning up for a paycheck.
No.
They, you know, there's a feeling amongst this Eagles group. I know they had a few wobbles a couple of weeks back with back-to-back losses, but I still have faith in this Eagles outfit. Righto, and then we wrap up the round. The 40-minute Gold Coast Titans just getting put to the absolute sword by the, it was essentially you play 40, we'll play 40, and we'll see who can score the most points.
Was it 24-8 at halftime and then 46 unanswered points from the Manly Sea Eagles? They were just rampant. And on the back of that man again, who's in he's in a purple pot. What about Ruben Garrick? Four tries.
Yeah, he's having a sneaky good season too.
He's only 10 points behind Nathan Cleary on the point scoring list at the moment. He's on 152, Cleary on 162, and that four tries, he went from 8 to 12 with one foul swoop. So, that was just impressive. You know, when you get to your outside back scoring seven tries, Sabi scored again. That's an indication of a really good team who finish off their backline movements perfectly, because they're the guys who are going to score. And mind you, the Titans' defence in that second half was woeful. The one bright spark out of the Titans game was the fact that young Jaden Campbell has been really going fantastically. He was their best player.
Couple of tries.
Yeah, he was their best player. And it was kind of like Tommy went at half time and said, okay, Junior Berger, that's what you can do. Just put your seatbelt on. Watch what I can do in this second half. And didn't he? What? Now they're sitting sixth. One,
still.
Two, three.
They did move up a position there. They're still, okay. They're very, I think we did this on a blanket the other week. I think they're very underrepresented by their position on the ladder because they're better than that. Just quickly, Jason Saab, he's one bloke that I don't reckon Manly locals will challenge to a race down the Corso.
Isn't he fast?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he makes it look so easy.
And he's such a tall man. Like we've had him in the studio. He's 6'7" easy.
He floats.
Yeah, he just floats across the ground. He's a beautiful runner.
Like when Mike Acevo runs, it's like, you know, he's pushing the earth away.
Yeah, it's like the Hulk running. It's like the Hulk.
But Jason Saab just floats across the ground. You talk about Tom Trbojevic very quickly. What he's doing, fullback, this run of form, it's reminiscent of 2012 Ben Barber at the Dogs. It's reminiscent of Jared Hayne 2014 with the Eels. The irony is, both those blokes won the Dally M. Tommy's not going to get near it.
No, give it to Nathan Cleary right now. He's second last year. He'll get it this year. And I think this is surpassing everything I've seen as far as back-to-back games go. I don't think I've seen a player since he's been back from that injury, round 5 or 6 was it? I'm not sure. The last 10 weeks.
He came back in about round 6, yeah.
Okay, well, he's got the man of the match except for one game, and that was when they played Penrith out at Bathurst, and it was 28-18 or something they got beat. But every other game, he's been the man of the match and sits on 18 Dally M points.
Dally M judges should be able to give a taking the piss bonus point. If they've seen the player who gets the 3 votes basically take the piss,
give him 5.
They should be able to give him at least 4. That's Tommy's only hope, because Cleary just rolls out, oh yeah, here's another 34-10 win. I'll take the 3 votes because I just made no mistakes and passed and did everything perfectly.
Yeah, he has, and he's evolving beautifully, but they're both a pleasure to watch.
Mm. Here's the analogy for you. Nathan Cleary, when you play a computer game, Nathan Cleary is the computer that you play against that just makes no mistake. Tom Trbojevic is your player, the one that you'd go, oh, I'll take the ball and then I'll just run around everybody and do everything.
Oh, the one you make, the one you play a profile that you jack up and you make him 7 foot tall and 240 kilos and can jump, run, fight.
Yeah, and your boring mate's going, well, there'd never be anybody like that. Well, don't make that sort of play.
His name's Tommy Turbo. There he is.
All right, there's your round 15 review podcast, round 16. No round 16 preview podcast this week. It'll come out next week because, of course, we have a State of Origin game to get ready for this week.
Ooh, we have a real big in-depth look at the Origin this week because I think we're about to break the hoodoo that we've had since 2017 of not winning at Suncorp.
Oh, I think I think Queensland have sent a teenager to fix a grown-up's problem, frankly. But that's just my personal opinion.
I'm not, don't say that. Don't say that.
All right, we'll see you soon.